What do you want your ideal clients to feel about you when they immediately meet you?
I love this question, and I think I struggle with this so much because whenever I've done these exercises, it's like I want them to feel like this boldness of there's potential and there's possibility, and like you can create this new experience with life. And I want that like juxtaposition of curiosity, but also like trust and softness, right? Like, so when I do these kind of exercises of like how you want to show up, it's like, that's how I want to show up. But then what I actually put out there doesn't actually show up like that. It doesn't translate, you know, like I don't show up like that.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Ashley, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with me today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, I always start the show the same. I let the listeners know we've never met. We literally talked for 3 to 5 minutes before I hit record. So I don't have any feel for you or your voice yet. And I also always start by having you tell us about who you are and what you do. And I'm just going to start making some notes and we'll see where we go.
Awesome. Yeah. So I live in Southern New Hampshire. We actually just moved here from the Boston area. So I have a husband and 2 young boys. And we're kind of in this process of just slowing our life down. And it's been a really beautiful process. And so that's kind of been what's happening for me in my personal life. And then from a business standpoint, the last 10 years, I've been in the wellness space, mainly as a holistic health coach and a transformational coach for women. I've also taught yoga. And prior to that, I had a whole career in corporate finance. So I've kind of done a lot of different reinventions in my life. And that's mainly what I help women do, is reinvent themselves, really looking at it as an inside job of reinventing kind of your patterning and the way you show up in the world and helping them be who they want to be.
Are you from Boston originally?
No, I grew up in Connecticut. So kind of okay. New England based, used to the weather here, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I bet New Hampshire's gorgeous.
It is. You know, I never really came here as a child. I never had any sort of love for New Hampshire. I actually never really cared for it. But where we are now, it's beautiful. There's, you know, a farm across the street and they have sheep and lambs, baby lambs. And it just a completely different pace of life than where we were before.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So how did you make that shift? What got you from finance to the work that you do now? It happens all the time, but they're very different. They sound like they're very different.
They are. You know, I've always been interested in wellness from when I was a young person. And, you know, I went to school for finance. I kind of did the whole thing, traveled, lived all over the world. And deep down, I kind of knew it just wasn't for me, especially that culture. I worked for GE and it was a very intense culture. Mm. And I would kind of look at the people who were, you know, older than me, managing me, all that. And they just all seemed pretty not happy with life. And I personally wasn't happy with life then. And I was like, this is just not the path for me. And so it was a huge shift. And it really actually, that was a huge like identity shift for me because I, you know, I fit the mold of like a high achiever, you know, all those kind of, you check all the boxes on paper, but inside you're really miserable. I fit that box. And so when I left corporate, my whole identity was so wrapped up in who I am as work, like my work was kind of me. And so that was kind of something that really rocked my world, but wellness was just an interest of mine. And so I just kind of jumped into that world. And I've been doing that for 10 years. And I think I'm also kind of at this other new precipice of kind of what's next. You know, like I like my work, but being a young mom of 2 young boys and being in this new environment, it's like, I'm also trying to there's newness that's bubbling up for me that I want to, you know, I don't know, something new is coming.
Not sure what it is yet, but something, yeah. some shift is coming. Yeah. Now, I want to hear a little bit more about this belief work that you do. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that just a little bit. What do you do? How do you do it? That kind of thing.
Yeah. So I trained with, they're now called Health Coach Institute, but back in the day, they were a holistic MBA, and they trained this method called transformational coaching method. And there's a lot of neuro-linguistic programming. Are you familiar with NLP?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like NLP timeline work, a little bit of IFS and parts work. So a lot of what I'm doing in belief repatterning is, a lot of it is the basics. So like rapport, really building safety with the client first. And then really, once there's this level of trust and safety, we're basically kind of mining for these beliefs of, and it could be about anything, right? It's usually just a roadblock comes up in the coaching work, and then we kind of know, okay, let's go a little deeper here. And so we kind of mine for, all the beliefs that are going on, and we do, whether it's timeline work, we're kind of bringing them back down to when they were, it's kind of as young as they can remember, but it's usually kind of the sequence where we bring them down. And we help them, we basically help them make new meaning of the event that happened, right?
Yeah.
Like cool. we're meaning making machines as humans. And so in this work, I find it's very, I don't want to say it's like a trance-like state, because I'm not trained in hypnotherapy, but if you're really in it, you kind of feel in this trance, and you're basically just creating new meaning and noticing how that feels, noticing the new thoughts that you're thinking, noticing what else can be true. And then you kind of grow yourself back up the timeline. And there's lots of different sequences, but that's kind of like the bread and butter one.
Yeah. So who are your ideal clients?
So usually it's kind of the mold that I fit, right? The high achieving person who has checked all the boxes, who has kind of come to this point in their life. And usually it's kind of transitions, whether it's kind of pre-motherhood, post-motherhood, retirement, kind of these big transition points in their life where they kind of wake up and say, okay, I've done all the things I've been told to do or thought I should do that would make life happy and make me feel good. And I'm starting to kind of open my eyes to, I've done it all, but I still don't feel good. What's missing?
Yeah.
And so we can work on that layer of belief and identity and habit change to help them shift into a new place of maybe all their overworking isn't serving them and they can find a new way of being. Or maybe, I've also trained in other things, more like feminine based yoga and kind of accessing their body and connecting more to that space too. So
I think the identity stuff is absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. I think so much of the work that I do is based on things that are happening out in the world. It starts before we're five, but I think that identity probably is created in a very similar way. I see that in familial settings. There's an identity that they want me to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think that work is so powerful and so fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It's incredibly fascinating, and it can really shift things for people,
huge.
And it's the sessions are usually 90 minutes. They're longer sessions. Like you're really kind of in there with someone, but I do find kind of helping people understand what it is, they're kind of, sometimes they're like,
they don't get it.
Yeah. Is it therapy? Is it this? Is it that? So.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Tell people you hear voices for a living. what kind of freak are you? So I just let people think it's voice coaching. And then, it's that classic, give them what they want, sell them what they want, give them what they need.
Yeah.
Right. Next level.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. It's really interesting what I'm hearing. I'm going to tell you in a minute, but what do you want? It's very interesting with you, and I'm going to know the direction that I go when it comes out of my mouth, but what do you want your ideal clients to feel about you when they immediately meet you?
I love this question, and I think I struggle with this so much, because whenever I've done these exercises, it's like I want them to feel like this boldness of there's potential and there's possibility and like you can create this new experience with life. And I kind of want that like juxtaposition of curiosity and like, but also like trust and softness, right? Like, for example, if you go to my website right now, what it says is turn yourself on. And I've used that like phrase, and a lot of people are like, I hate it, or they're like, I love it. And I like that about it, because if you're really reading my work and you're really curious, you'll know that I'm saying turn yourself on from a sense of like, light yourself up from inside, like wake up to like what you have in your life. And yes, turn yourself on is a little bit of a play, because I have studied and done some work in the realm of like feminine embodiment and sensuality and like whatever you want to call that, but I'm not overtly teaching anything super in the sexual realm, right? Like it's like in this middle ground. So when I do these kind of exercises of like how you want to show up, it's like, that's how I want to show up. But then what I actually put out there doesn't actually show up like that. It doesn't translate, you know, like I don't show up like that.
And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why. And so it's all a voice thing.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to me that you said that. Based on what I was hearing, there were two very important questions that I wanted to ask you, which was first, who's your ideal client? Which you said high achievers. And then that second question was, what do you want them to feel? Now, you could have said this, or you could have said, I want them to feel like we're not playing, we're getting it done, we're knocking it out. And I wasn't sure which way you were going to go. And what I am hearing is not this. And what I think it is it's, you know, I say this in a lot of these calls. You have done the inner work, but the remnants are in your voice.
Okay.
And the remnants are this. And this is, let me tell you the first thing that I wrote. And again, none of this is bad.
Okay.
I think part of it too, Ashley, is East Coast. I lived in New York City for 12 years. It's a go. It's go, 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 go. You know, I think, and I just got off another call. She's in the UK, totally different cultural feel. And so I do think that plays into it. But as a high achiever, the first things that I wrote down, and this is literally based on sounds, trying to get to the other side of it. So it's not that you talk fast like a New Yorker would talk fast. It's there's a different sound. It's let's get it done. And so you are moving through it quickly. And all of that is coming from being a high achiever. The second thing I wrote was no nonsense and outcome driven. Okay, this is very common, but that is a different sound than curiosity.
Okay.
And so if I put it all in a bucket, and I'm going to break it all down for you and show you something that I want to shift. But if I put it all in a bucket, it's the difference in ease versus grip.
Okay.
High achiever is grip. What you're saying here, what you are internally, what the sound is that you want to create is ease.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And that's why when you say to me, this is what I want to put out in the world, but I know that's not, it's because the remnants in your muscle memory of how you're using your voice are probably partly coming from who you are, but they're big time coming from the corporate space and finance.
Yeah.
No nonsense. Get it done. Checklist. It just is in your voice. Those are all the first things that I wrote. Checklist. I wrote, now I don't hear this massively, but there was a little bit of trying to get it right that I think comes from numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate with you? Is there a part of you that used to, in that old space, and maybe it's not numbers, maybe it's corporate, I have to get this right. There was no room to not get it right.
Yeah, I mean, I think how that may have showed up in kind of me post-corporate, like in the creative space, is more, I never viewed myself as a perfectionist, but I think there is some of that, like getting it right. Like, yeah. Like I don't just like put stuff out, but then I'm like, I need to put stuff out. And so there's a little bit of that of like,
okay,
I know kind of what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at. And I should hire people to help me with what I'm not good at. Cause I probably take too long to get stuff out. Cause I'm like, I gotta try again. So I think there's something in there.
Okay. I think that also dovetails into, let me look at these notes over here real quick. Do you feel any unsurety around our buy-in into what you're selling us? This concept, this idea, this finance is concrete. Mm-hmm. This is not. Is there any unsurety around, and maybe part of it is, am I articulating this with the clarity? Like what you just said, it takes me a little longer to get it out there. Is there any of that going on?
Yeah. And it's funny that you asked that because I was thinking of that even just like this week, like for the last 8 years, I've kind of been in this whole like feminine embodiment, blah, blah, blah world. But like the bread and butter of what I can do with people is the coaching, the belief repatterning work. Right. And I think like 2 years ago, I went through a medical issue that has kind of shifted even my desire to want to do some of that more like feminine yoga. And like, I've just haven't really been able to practice that the way I used to, right? It's like, I'm kind of moving away from it. And I think like the rock of my work is that belief repairing and coaching. But I think for so long, I would try to layer on these other things, right? Of like, oh, we can work on your sensuality and like you reclaiming yourself as a woman, you know? And it's like, cause I think I always felt like the belief repatterning coaching, it's like it needed something else. Right.
Yeah.
And I think I'm coming back to realize like I can work on really anything with anyone and this coaching can facilitate so much change. But I was trying to like figure out like, what's my like niche or my angle or like, I don't know.
And there's a sound in there that I'm picking up that is this enough? Mm-hmm. Do I have to justify this? Are you going to buy in to just this?
Yeah.
Is something that I'm picking up. Now, I don't know that, you know, a lot of times when I ask questions, I'm pretty sure what you're going to say based on what I hear.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to say to this question, but are you a peacekeeper?
Recovering one.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what the clue was. And this is what's really interesting about you. There is a level of ownership in you vocally that I love. I want to rein it in from out there to right here. But what's derailing it is an old peacekeeper pattern of buffering what you're saying with kind of.
Yeah.
And so it's this derailment that you're doing. And that's a typical peacekeeper thing, but you're not reading to me vocally like my hardcore people pleasers do.
Yeah.
But that was part of my clue to, you don't think we're going to buy in.
Yeah.
And so you're softening the blow because you believe that if you soften the blow a little bit with this buffer word, then we'll buy in. Now, I don't know if that's consciously happening or subconsciously happening, but that remnant is still in your sound. I don't call them filler words. I call them buffer words because that's what my data shows me is that any time I've got somebody doing that, they're afraid the person's not going to buy in.
Okay.
So buy in and ownership, even though you have a really solid sound, you have a very solid sound, but it's misaligned. So I want to get it more in alignment so that it's working for you better.
Yeah.
Right now there's a couple of things in it that are creating a disconnect.
Okay.
And there's really a depth to you that I really like that I don't know if people are picking up on. I think they are, but I think you're missing some of your people.
No, I agree with you. And I think there is such a depth. And I think what's happened is like, it's all kind of lived in my head for so long. Yeah. And then I had kids and I had a medical thing and blah.
Yeah.
But like I did a podcast a few weeks ago and the woman was interviewing me on more of like the feminine embodiment and the sensuality and like why should we care? And she was fascinated. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I've actually ever said a lot of this stuff out loud. Like I've written it in newsletters and maybe blog posts, but I haven't actually verbalized so much of what I've studied the past decade, really.
Why do you think that is? Just the opportunity and time, or has there been some kind of reasoning behind it? Like, well, people are going to think I'm crazy, or the finance people are going to go, what are you doing?
It's not about the corporate guy. That has like, that's not an issue
at
all.
Okay.
That's so over. But I think honestly, it was like, I was doing more health coaching. And then in 2015, it's like, I had like 2 years of kind of entering more of this space. And then I had kids 2017, 2019, COVID, health crisis. And I think now it's like, I have the conviction now because I'm kind of like past all of it. And like, I have seen like this stuff does work and there is so much power in some of these modalities. But, you know, I think just, it was such a choppy period of life for me. Plus I wasn't super convicted then. Whereas like now I'm like, no, like this stuff carried me through a lot and there is so much value in here, but now I don't want to say I'm bored of it now, but I think that's where I was saying, like, I'm kind of feeling like something is changing and maybe the change is me owning it more and just being like, this is what I do and this is how I can help you. So there's a few different paths maybe.
Yeah. And I'm not sure 100% which one it is, but there's a little bit of a checking in that is derailing one of your vocal superpowers, which is that depth and that feeling that is in you. It's a sound that's in you. That is, I've got you. You can trust me.
Yeah.
And it's there. It is really, and that was one of the things you said, you want them to feel like they can trust you. And I think that depth is one of those sounds that, so when you say light up from the inside out, that depth is one of the ways you reveal that to us so that we can identify with it.
Okay.
Where checking in sabotages that. Because if you're checking in, then how can there be depth? If you're checking in, and I don't mean in the literal sense, like I want to know how you're doing. I mean, checking in this, some of this buffering, some of this tempering, am I getting this right kind of feel?
Yeah.
How can I be bought in if I'm subconsciously hearing something that says to me, you're not fully bought in?
Yeah.
So I think that the buy-in, you know, and all roads keep going back to the buy-in. But the other thing is, okay, so let me say one more thing about buy-in. I don't know, you would be the one to know the answer about, is the holdup that I'm not bought in to what I'm doing. I'm unsure there's something else coming down the pike. I'm not picking that up. I'm picking up that you can buy into what you've got right now, knowing that there's something else potentially coming, and you can buy into knowing there's something coming, right? It's almost like your subconscious is using that as some kind of circumvent to keep you from buying in over here because it keeps you safe.
Yeah.
It's one of those, well, when I get there concepts.
Yeah.
Could be. I'm not sure. But that's what I want, is I want buy-in and I want you right here with me. And I think that was the first thing that I picked up when I said, you're trying to get to the other side. I don't pick it up from a place of insecurity where some of my people are like, I need to get to the other side of it and make sure I got it right. Or I need to get it, you know, whatever. It's coming from no-nonsense, outcome-driven. It's a remnant from that A personality type.
Yeah.
And so what happens is it can affect your connection because it's like you got in the plane and took off and left me on the runway.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't even know where we're going.
Yeah.
And you're flying off without me. You didn't even get me in the plane and buckle me in or get me a Sprite or anything.
Okay.
And that is a connection piece that's missing. Slightly, that I think is going to help you if you can get right here with me and be in the conversation with me. which is ease. And I think that is the thing that is, when I look at this list, when you said the word soften, soften to me is ease versus grip. And grip is, this is what we do. This is how we're going to do it. This is what we're going to get done. And listen, we're going over here. That's that no nonsense. Yeah. And that's the majority of my people, just so you know. I mean, successful people are no nonsense. Get it done. Outcome driven. Those are great qualities. I just don't think they always work vocally.
Okay.
So even with my people that still need to be that outcome driven, problem solver, no nonsense, they can be that, but I got to have their people connecting with them.
Yeah.
Especially if they're leaders of companies, because the people aren't going to do what they tell them to do if they can't even connect with them. Yeah. So I think that softening is really about ease, is really, and curiosity may be the way to get there, because I haven't heard that sound yet.
Okay.
And I think there's a confidence that stands behind curiosity. And I know there's a confidence that stands behind ease. And so this slight questioning, whatever it is around, are they bought in? Do I have to convince them? Is this even what I'm doing? There is a little bit of lack of confidence behind it that may be real or not, that if I'm less confident, I'm going to be more doing this kind of thing and trying to get over here because I don't know. I got to find out what I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
Where the expert that's fully bought in, they know they're going to get there. Does that make sense?
When you say they know they're going to get there, is that in the sense of how it's coming through in the voice of like, I know I'm going to get there with you, like a client, so like I can be here with you now and I can connect and I can just trust that like we'll get there versus this more like, this is how we do it. We're going to get in the plane and we're just taking off.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
In fact, the way you're talking to me now, like when this episode comes out, if you listen to it, you will hear a big difference in the beginning of it versus how you're talking to me now.
Okay.
You're talking to me now with more of a curiosity, with more of an ease. Let me find out, is this what you mean? And as the expert, that's the confidence that's what I want. Yeah. You are so sure you are so bought in to what you are getting me to buy into that you don't have to rush.
Okay.
You don't have to get anywhere. You know we're getting there.
Yeah.
I know I'm getting you where I need to go. There's no doubt in my mind. So I can be right here with you.
Okay.
And I think that is really about just a personality trait.
Yeah.
The biggest piece of it is just about, you're just, let's go. Let's get it done. Let's shift this. And that, you know, that's why I wanted to know. And when you said high achiever, it made me think, okay, what do they need to hear? What do you think your high achiever, are they seeking something the opposite of what they've been? Let's go. Let's get it done. Outcome driven, problem solver, fix it now. What are they seeking sound wise?
Yeah. I do think that it's what you're saying. It's like they're seeking that. Like they want to feel kind of that conviction, that power and that holding, but they want to feel that ease and that curiosity. I mean, I can think back years ago, it's like, you know, I would do my little board of how I want to feel for the year. And every time it was ease, joy, you know, like, and those were feelings that weren't real for me back then. And I've cultivated that now, but I mean, I think like just the way I'm wired is that's achieve something. I mean, I'm definitely not in my type A energy like I used to be, but it's kind of hard coded. And so I think if it was me, I'd want to hear almost both, right? I'd want to hear like, I know that you know this hard wiring and I want to know that like I can be on the other side of the river where it's more easeful but like you, but you still get me. And it's like, you're not going to tell me to, I don't know, go do something crazy that just doesn't like align with kind of the core of who I am.
Yeah. And I love how you're talking to me now. And what I think it is 100% both. But what I want to say about the, I think the thing that we need to plug in is pull. Okay. So I'm using a lot of terminology like ease and grip, outcome, no nonsense. I'm using a lot of different terminology. There is an intensity about you. There is a no nonsense, get it done, I gotcha about you to the point we don't need to add any more. If we add more, it's going to be too much. And I think that's possibly a personality type. Push harder. Come on. Okay. So what we need is, and you're not going to sound like a marshmallow if we work from pull, but I think the pull elements are where you, working from just being in that conversation is really what's going to make the difference as far as they're getting both, because I want them to trust that you're going to get them there. Mm-hmm. And that trust is going to come in ease. If I start hammering at you going, well, no, come on, I'm going to shift this. We're going to shift this. If that, you feel that grip in that, it makes you kind of go, okay, all right, back off a little bit, you know? But if I'm just having a conversation with you in the ownership of, I absolutely have this, can you feel that there's an ease there, but still a solidity that I know what I'm doing?
Yeah, I can.
So if you were going to tell me again what it is that you do, hold on a minute. There was one other thing. Do you tend to have a checklist in your head?
I have like 100 checklists.
Yeah, I think that was about the fifth thing I wrote. There's a checklist. So when you talk about things that you know, we got to be careful about that checklist.
Okay.
Because we don't know what you know. And so when I was asking you those first questions, you know those answers. You know that information. So it was boom, 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 boom. Okay? And that was affecting the connection point as well, where we, if you start talking to me from the place of curiosity, if you start talking to me from the place of, you're not even going to believe this. This is really cool. Yeah. Or whatever it is. Your solidity is going to be there. Your curiosity is going to override the checklisting and the outcome driven. And come on, what are you waiting on? Let's go.
Okay.
So if you were going to go back and tell me again about the work that you do, but you were going to do it just from a place of curiosity and conversation and ease, let's see what that would sound like. Not okay. Checklisting, not I got to make sure you get it. None of that. Just, yeah, just a conversation.
Okay. And can I ask you one question before I do that?
Absolutely.
When you say the checklist of like boom, 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 what did I say? Like, what were those boom, 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 booms?
Well, I won't just have like, your exact words because I never remember.
Just roughly, so that I can.
Yeah. It's like, well, I worked in the finance industry and then I had a shift and I went to, well, and then I had children and then I had a medical issue and then I got into this and what I understood was that, and that's what shifted. And then there was this inner work and then there was this feminine piece over here, but I didn't want that over here. I wanted that over there. And so now, and that's a dramatic version.
No, but I love it. It's so helpful. Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of my people like me to go, they go, okay, you do it for me. Let me hear it. And I always do a little bit of a dramatic version of it, but it was, do you see how that there's no room for me to lean in?
Yeah. Okay.
And so when I talk about it could potentially be a misconnect, it's because of that.
Okay.
And that also gives me the feel. Did you feel like I was trying to get somewhere?
Yeah. And it was
so
like,
when I say I feel you trying to get somewhere, it was because, and then I did this, and then I had the spirituality, and then I added this, and then I wasn't sure about that. So I did this over here, and that's why that happened. And that's pretty much it.
So great. So helpful. Okay.
When you've already got power,
Yeah.
Like, I've already got a powerful voice. In fact, I have to do exactly what I'm telling you to do, or I will exhaust people. Yeah. If I stay in that hammering, I call it with me, it's a hammering. And you're, yeah. And it's like, give them a break, Trace. You've been hammering at them for 10 minutes. You got to ease up. Give them a breath. Right. And that's high intensity people.
Okay.
That's high achieving people. That's outcome driven people. And that's not, it's not a bad quality, but we have to be super aware of it or we just take off and they didn't even get their Sprite.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. Okay. All right.
So with that all in mind, now do it again for me.
Okay. About just who I am.
Just who you are, what you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. So let's see. Yeah. So have you ever felt, you know, that you were going through a life transition and you were just unsure of kind of what the next thing was going to be for you? Like you felt like you were coming into a new season or wanting to really bring out the woman that you know is within you and let that be seen to the external world. Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a lot of what I do in my work. And so it's been over a decade of different modalities that I've studied, but really the bedrock of what I do is to help women excavate that woman inside and bring her to the forefront. And I do that mainly with belief repatterning coaching and some other modalities that help awaken women's confidence and connection to them, their self. That's both fun and powerful and actually works to help you shift into this new way of being. And it actually sticks because we actually work at the level of belief, behavior, and identity so that we create this environment that supports you.
Your credibility went through the roof on that delivery. Could you feel that?
Yeah.
And it was so easy. Yeah. There was so much of an invitation. You became the expert. Feel the difference in that?
Yeah, I do. And I'm so glad I asked you to give me the example because
me too.
I have not seen that for myself. Yeah. Like that.
Yep.
You know,
and that's why you said, and most of the, see, this is the power of my ear, I think, because this is perception reception. The subconscious is going to keep you locked into believing you're doing something or not really knowing how to change it, where I can just swoop right in here and go, okay, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we need to do. Yeah. And I think that's the value in any kind of coaching, right? I mean, even like with your people, you see their blind spots. Mm-hmm. But the subconscious is always going to go, yep, you got it, you know? But I think this is why you said, I know I'm not being read the way I want to be read because you couldn't hear it. You knew something was off, but perception, reception was at play. Yeah. And so I feel like with your high achievers, what they were hearing is what they are. And here we're talking about, do you want something different? But we're delivering sounds that represent who they are. Do you see how that can leave people behind? That is so, so freaking powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating to me, honestly. Like it's just mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing.
It really is.
It's mind-blowing. And people are not, this is not even on people's radar, something this microscopic, something this nuanced. When your mind is going, I got to make them sure they understand and I got to, or maybe you're just even being you. At the core, you are all these things. So I don't want to take something away, but I need to get things that aren't being played.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest hang up with typical voice coaching is we just layer on more.
Okay.
And that doesn't solve the problem. That doesn't fix the problem. I could have said, well, be quieter or slow down. Well, that doesn't fix the problem because there's still this one place you're working from. And I need other pieces coming in based on my questioning, which told me what they needed to hear, that they're not hearing.
Yeah.
But it was there. It's in layer 7. So yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you asked me too, because a lot of times that's exactly it. You knew something was off, but you really couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
And we really can't. And then you hear me do it and it's like, oh my God, totally. No, okay. I get it.
Yeah.
Not that that was bad, but that is not the sound they're seeking.
No. Yeah.
This is why we leave a third of our buyers behind. This is why revenue doubles and triples.
Yeah.
Just off of a sound. They're like, well, I don't want that. I already got that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think whatever you do, if you shift, if you get a download on a new thing that you're going to, it's still the same.
Yeah.
It's really not about that. And I know I've mentioned it, you mentioned it. I never really felt like that was the problem, was that, you know, I'm always thinking about, wonder what I'm going to do next. I wonder what my new offer is going to be, you know, but I'm still owning.
Yeah.
I'm still showing up with all of me. So I don't think that was really at play here. I think the core elements were at play here. And so as you shift and morph, and I mean, that'll go on a lifetime. I mean, I tell people all the time, where I started 30 years ago looked nothing like where I'm at now. Nothing. What this week doesn't really even look like last week, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay, but I'm still showing up the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it makes so much sense. I think it was feeling, it just been feeling like I'm banging my head against the wall, right? It's like, I'm like, I have all this to offer and I can't, there's such a disconnect.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was just like, I just can't like keep dumping my energy into this. Like that's how it felt really, you know? And I was like, it's just not worth it.
You know, I do a training, I do a webinar training, and my coach, she said, you need to talk about the energy that people are losing. And I'll talk about that, holding up masks and that kind of thing. She said, no, you need to talk about it in that training, because people do not even realize the energy that they're pouring into something. And it may not even be on their radar that it's about a vocal disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I say that to people all the time. I say, you must be exhausted. I'll listen to them for a couple of minutes and I go, good grief, I'm exhausted just listening to you. You must be exhausted.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. And it's because we're just pouring all this energy into something that we don't even know what we're pouring it into.
Yeah. And so is that, are people who, the people who are tired, like those clients, is it maybe similar to me where it's like, I'm talking and I'm explaining and in my brain, I think something's happening, but it's not. There's obviously, like what you said, the perception, reception, like there's just a disconnect. Yeah. So it's like,
it can be that. It can
energy.
Be, it can be. It can, if hiding behind one of the 15 voice masks, it can be pushing because I don't think they get it. So it can be driving to the outcome. It can be, I mean, it can be a myriad of things. But I find that when people get in front of me, the majority of them are exhausted.
Yeah.
From one thing or another, because they're doing or reading the room. Let me read the room and see who I need to be based on what I think I see. That's exhausting. I rip that away from people immediately when they get here. Working from pillar one is all about working from the noise and where are you working from internally? And all of it, I think, plays into it. And we don't know any different.
Yeah.
Nobody's teaching what I'm teaching, but nobody's talking about this kind of stuff in the real world. We're not learning this in school.
No, definitely not.
We're learning things like algebra and
calculus.
Yeah, which I'm sure is important. But I think in the real world skills, one of the greatest deficits is knowing how to use our voice, knowing how to communicate. And I see it getting harder and harder and worse and worse. Technology is the most amazing thing, but it has made it real easy for us to not have to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary, really.
It's scary. The younger generations, my son included, you know, thank goodness I taught him to communicate. But his generation, many of them, his friends, many of them, not, I don't like to do a whole generation thing, but many of his friends, it's all typing.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. So was your background more in communication and then the voice and the ear kind of came in and
no.
then more? No.
No, my ear was always here and I fought it. I fought it because I was raised in a family where I was silenced. Yeah. And I thought I would be a fraud. I thought, who would hire me? I knew I always knew I could hear the way I can hear. And I fought it to the death to get on board with this work. I was an actor. I directed plays all over the world. And people kept finding me to coach their voices. And this was Yellow Pages days. And so I knew that I was supposed to do this.
Yeah.
But I really struggled to get on board with it because I just couldn't understand how this could be what I was supposed to do. And then when I put it all together, I realized, oh, the training started in the womb. That's when my training program to do this work and excel at it began.
Yeah.
So then I really leaned into it. And that's when I created the concept of psychology of the voice. I've done massive research studies. That's when I realized, oh my gosh, I can tell people how they're being processed subconsciously, and researched it for 10 years. And then I realized, wait a minute, hold on, I hear their real voice. And that's what's leading, you know, and then it was the seven layers. So it was an unraveling of the gift, but I think it's super cool. And I love that I get to do it.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. It's very different, very unique, but very powerful because voices are generally underutilized and under-maximized. So, well, was this helpful for you?
This was amazing. Yes, this was very helpful. I'm definitely curious more about your work and what you have to offer.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here. And we're going to check back in with you in a month or 6 weeks and see how things are going with just this little nugget that we were able to give you today. And
I love that.
And really, really glad you were able to come on.
Yeah, I'm glad I was able to come on too. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. Always great to have you with me too. In working with Ashley, I think so many people are going to benefit from the very thing that happens at the end of the episode, which was the number one thing I was chasing. I was chasing ease when I was getting grip. And in this episode, you're going to hear something really cool when she asks me to give her an example of how I was processing her. And it blew her away. And that is the biggest challenge. That is the biggest missed opportunity for people everywhere. They think they are being perceived one way and they are not. Or really, in Ashley's case, she knew there was a disconnect. She knows there's something. People aren't reading her right. But she had absolutely no idea that it was microscopic sounds that I break down in this episode that ultimately let me get her to ease. And when I did, her credibility went through the roof. You're going to love this transformation.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab The Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.